Well, I want to talk to you about one of the most amazing subjects for a Christian, the blood of Jesus. Cleanses us from sin, delivers us to eternal life, does a lot more.
From your burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Oh, I like this song. Sing it with me.
There is power, power, wonder. In the blood.
Yes, there is. Can you imagine that? The blood of Jesus shed at the cross 2,000 years ago has wonder-working power today. How is that possible?
Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Well, I want to tell you a secret about that right now, because what it is the life, the Bible says, the life is in the blood. And obviously, you know, medically, we know that's true. Life is in the blood. But that's where the whole idea of the animal sacrifice in the Old Testament comes from. That the life in the blood of that animal was shed for the person's sin. Here it is, Leviticus 17:11. It says, eating blood's forbidden. He says, I'll set my face against anyone who eats the blood, for life is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And that's pretty amazing. Now, here's the deal. I'm thinking about the blood of Jesus. If the life of an animal is in the blood, and you're not allowed to eat the blood when you eat the meat, then what? And it's the blood being shed and poured out at the altar that brought redemption and forgiveness of sins in the Old Testament. What does it say about the blood of Jesus? Well, the blood of Jesus is the life of the Son of God. That's why it's still effective for us. And it says in the Bible that when he died and rose again, he actually took that blood to the true altar in heaven. And that is quite amazing. Cosmic things going on for us concerning the blood of Jesus. And let me see if I can just find that reference here. They took his blood, Jesus took his blood to the true tabernacle of heaven. Let me look and see if I can find that for you real fast. Here it is, Hebrews 9:12. And this is quite amazing. Let's just read this first of all. When Christ, our high priest, see, he acted as high priest for us, of the good things that are now present, went through the greater and more perfect temple, tabernacle, the one not made with hands, the one not part of creation, the one in heaven. He did not enter by the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the holy place, the holy presence of God, once and for all, with his own blood to obtain eternal redemption. That's what he did. He did an eternal sacrifice, took it, of his own blood, to an eternal place of heaven, and paid for eternal redemption of our eternal souls. Isn't that amazing? The blood of goats and bulls, it says, and the ashes of the red heifer are ceremonially sprinkled for unclean things, so they sanctify them. But how much more will the blood of Christ, offered through the eternal Holy Spirit, unblemished to God, cleanse us and our conscience from acts leading to death, that we can serve the living God? That is just astonishing. So we're talking something incredible, supernatural, wonderful, powerful. We think about and sing about and praise God for the blood of Jesus. Do you know in your life the wonderful power of the blood of Jesus? I remember as a new Christian, and I started to date Karen, my wife, and I would be over at their house, and Karen's dad, of course, he was he had been a minister, and he was now head of Compassion of Canada and an evangelist and things like that. He'd often be praying at the meal, or especially when we go out in the car and drive somewhere. Lord, we pray, he says, we plead the blood of Jesus over us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I remember him saying that so many times, it got ingrained into me. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. The blood of Jesus keeps me from death and from the dark, you know, the death angel, the Passover, when the death angel passed through Egypt and they put the blood of that lamb over the doorpost. And when the angel coming to execute judgment saw the blood, he'd pass over the houses of the Israelites. But he executed judgment on the Egyptians. Wow. So what's it say in the Word of God about this? It says, first of all, that it's by the blood of Christ that everything was reconciled to himself. Things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth, in fact. It says he made peace through his blood shed on the cross. Colossians 1:20. He reconciles us by his blood. See, before you know Christ, you're at enmity with God. You're divided with God. You don't know God. And you live a life that's just totally selfish and self-centered. And that's where all the sin and problems of the world comes from. In fact, the world doesn't know God. Even creation needs to know God, and all the things, everything falls apart, is corrupt, is dying, and everything else. That's the curse that's on the earth, and that's the curse that's in humanity. But that's what needed to be paid for, and that's what Christ did. It says he had to pay for it. He redeemed us by his precious blood. Redemption is, like a pawn shop, right? Where something is paid for by the pawn shop, and you can't get it back, and you can't have it until you redeem it, right? And so let's see if I can find Bible verses about that, because we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Ephesians 1:7, we have this redemption through the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, it says there. 1 Peter 1:19, for you know that it was not with ordinary perishable things like silver or gold you have been redeemed. From what? From your empty way of life that you inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, the precious blood of the Lamb, without blemish or spot, before the foundation of the world. Isn't that amazing? You've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Do you know that truth? Have you asked for that redemption to be realized in your life? You say, Lord, I want to be yours. Redeem me now. Save me now. Wow. And then the second thing that we find out about the blood of Jesus is, not only does he redeem us, buy us back to be his own, he cleanses us as well. For example, Hebrews 9:14, how much more will the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit, it's done by the power of God's Spirit, cleanse our conscience from the acts that lead to death to serve the living God. Hebrews 9:22 says, in fact, the law requires nearly everything to be cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Without the blood of Jesus, you can't be forgiven. Without the blood of Jesus, you can't be clean. And the defilement and the filth and anything you do wrong ever, in thought, word, deed, past, life, present, you need cleansing. You need to be clean. And it's done by the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. It says in 1 John 3:9, I think it is, that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You get cleansed. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. And isn't that amazing? So I'm asking you a question again right now. Do you need a cleansing? Do you know Christ? Do you know about the blood of Jesus? Are you just trying to do it all yourself? Do those old deeds and those old things still haunt you? Just shove them back into the back of your mind and try to forget about them? Would you like to be clean instead of just trying to bury them and forget them? Some people have gone through such extreme things that no wonder we have so much depression and anxiety and problems in our world today. It's like a plague of mental illness and anxiety and depression. Oh, that the blood of Jesus would come and cleanse and take that load off your mind. Will you ask him today? Ask him right now. It's a free gift from God. He paid for it at the cross. But you surrender and say, okay, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come and take me, take over. And by the power of his Spirit coming into your life, he does these things. Wow. Wow. And then not only does he cleanse us, he gives us eternal life, you know, that the blood of Jesus brings forth us eternal life. There in the book of Revelation, up in the heavenly places, John the apostle saying, who are these people he sees there? He says, sir, you know, the angel answers them, sir, you know, he says, these are those that have come out of the great tribulation. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There, eternal life. And, wow, they triumphed over the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's a different subject right there. We'll get into that in a sec. But third thing is, eternal life comes because of the blood of Jesus. Do you know you have eternal life today? Have you surrendered all? If you've been able to, could you sing that song? I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my precious Savior, I surrender all. Yeah, you surrender all to him, and, well, what happens is he takes over and he changes you. So you're not just redeemed and paid for. You're also cleansed. You're also given eternal life. And this life is more than just saying, I'm going to heaven. And finally, you know, we have eternal life. We'll know eternal life all through the blood of Jesus. But let me come to the last point. And this is about what we celebrate every time we have communion is, you know, what happens on Good Friday when we celebrate that. It's the Lord's. Before he was crucified, he came together for Passover with his disciples. And what's Passover? Passover is the Jewish celebration of when they were delivered from slavery in Egypt. And the last plague to be pronounced over the Egyptians was the death of the firstborn, as the angel of death came through executing judgment for the wickedness of the Egyptians and the Pharaoh. Judgment, the final judgment on the land. But God's instructions through Moses were to the Israelites, come into your homes and have this little lamb with you. I believe it was for a week or something, or several days. And then sacrifice it, drain its blood. You kill it and drain its blood into a bowl, and then with a hyssop branch, dip it in the blood and wipe it over the doorposts around your entrance door to your home and stay in there that night. Stay in. And so when the death angel came through Egypt, he passed over. He'd see the blood and pass over. And that's what happens with us. You know, it says about the devil and Satan and all his works. He says that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives even unto death. Every power of darkness and hell and judgment, I mean, that's the realm that the devil operates in. You know, he looks for a legal right to work against us. All of it has been disarmed because of the blood of Jesus. We come in to our rest, this place of abode, under the covering of the blood of Jesus. And so communion is when we remember Christ's death and resurrection, when we do what they did at the Last Supper, where he took bread, like they did unleavened bread. They were ready to flee Egypt. At a moment's notice, they didn't even have time to let the bread rise. No leaven in it. They eat the bread, and then they drank wine, then they left. That night, they left after the Egyptians wanting to throw them out now. And so Jesus celebrated that with his disciples, the Passover ceremony. And then we are instructed to remember with Holy Communion, the same style, this bread. This is my body, Jesus said. Not the body of a lamb anymore, not the bread of fleeing Egypt. This is my body, Jesus said, broken for you. This body of Christ, broken for us. And in the promises of God, Isaiah 53 and other places, his broken body took our sickness and our disease and our deliverance and our pain and our suffering on himself when he was lashed and whipped and beaten. And then he takes the cup and says, this is my blood, the shed in the new covenant, the new testament, the new agreement. Not the blood of sheep and goats and bulls any longer. Now the blood of the Son of God shed for us. Drink this in remembrance of me, and so we're in Christ. Do you know this? Is this your life? Have you given your whole heart and life over to Christ? Now, some of you are feeling, if you haven't, you're just that tugging. You say, you need to do this. You need to surrender now. He's talking to you. The Spirit of God's talking to you right now. Come to me, he says. Come to me. I've paid for you. Come to me and be mine. And you say, Lord, yes, Jesus, I truly repent of my sin. I'm sorry for my sin. I ask you to come and forgive me. The redemption is mine. Cleanse me by your Spirit. Come into me and lead me in life. Save me for eternal life. Forgive my sin and put your Spirit in me. And he will. Ask him right now. It's not a thing in your head. It's in your mouth and on your lips. If you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, now he takes over your life, and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, yes, he's the living Savior, you shall be saved.
Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And nothing can make